Good morning. Happy New Year. Thank the Lord for seeing another year, another opportunity the Lord gives us to serve Him. I desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. I want to turn to the third chapter of Philippians. I'm just going to start reading at the Let's start at the 8th verse. Or, you know what, I want to read the first verse first. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but it's for you it is safe." Paul was talking to the Philippian brethren, and there are some things that we have to do as ministers. Part of our responsibility is to keep people safe, right, spiritually speaking. So Paul is saying that here. Now I want to drop down to the 8th verse here. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them all but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now I want to stop here for a moment. It says, "Doubtless, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." So he was making a comparison with everything that he had ever gained in his life, all the riches, all of the fame, all of the whatever you might want to say. He was comparing that with knowing about who Christ is, and when you put them side by side, there is no comparison. The most important thing to any of us, the most important thing that we can do is live for the Lord. And we can have a determination right here in our hearts and in our souls that I'm going to live for the Lord, not just for a few days, not for a few months, but I'm going to live for the Lord, not just in 2019, but I'm going to live for the Lord however long He gives me. It doesn't matter how long it is. The older I get, the more I see the importance of us living a righteous life, because we're closer to the end than we ever have been, aren't we? All right, continue. "That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Christ." All right? "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do," this is what I want us to get a hold of. This is the verse that the Lord gave to me today. I want us to get, "Brethren, I count not myself to, I don't have it all. I don't have it all yet." Now I know that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a greater plane. But right now, He's saying right here on this side of eternity, I don't have it all. I don't know everything. I don't have a clear understanding on everything. But the one thing that He does have an understanding, and the one thing, we don't have to have an understanding on everything, but we do have an understanding that we can live a righteous and a holy life right here in this present world. This is what Jesus died for. This is what He expects of His church to live. No matter what the folks out there are saying, what they're saying in various organizations, and we hear people that are hearing this, and people that are embracing a different kind of a way, but God wants holiness, holiness unto the Lord. We can't do this in and of ourselves. It's going to take the Lord doing it for us, isn't it? All right, so He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." So in other words, I'm very focused on what I want. I'm very focused on what I'm trying to do. All the things that you're doing, you got to go to work tomorrow. You got to go to the grocery store. You got to go to school. You got to do all of these things, and all of this is part of our lives. We got to go to sleep. We got to get up. We got to do all the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. But one thing is important. The one thing that is important is, all of that, no matter what it is, it cannot jeopardize my soul. It cannot get us into a place where I've become so distracted by the things that I have to do that the one thing that is most important to me, I forget about that. All right, so the most important thing to us that we can say, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your status in life is, I don't care if you're the President of the United States or the Queen of England, it doesn't matter. The one thing that is most important than anything else is your soul. Oh yes, you're a busy person. Yes, you've got to do all of these things. But don't forget about your soul. Because I'm going to stand before the Lord. You're going to stand before the Lord. We're all going to stand before the Lord. And we've got to make certain, Lord, I've maintained, I've done what it is. All these things that are going on around me, they're not more important than the matters of my soul. All right? Read. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So here's a few things that we want to bring out. So in other words, what he's saying here, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. And I think that's fitting. We've dealt with this subject before on more than one occasion. But forgetting. Here he says, they're forgetting those things which are behind. And I think it's appropriate for us as we begin a new year. There's a few things that we like to do. We like to start a new year's resolution. And there's a lot of folks that write down lists of things that they want to accomplish in the year. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a good thing. I think you tend to do better, and research has proven this to be the case. You tend to do better when you write it down. When you write down what you want to do, what you want to accomplish in this coming year. When you write it down, there's something about our mind that our mind begins to work toward that. I've just had the experience, and seemed like when I'm really, really busy and there's a lot of work to be done, I write down a list of what I need to do. And even if I don't go back to that list, I'll generally get most of the things done on the list. I don't know, it's something about your mind that happens like that. But if I don't write it down, I'll forget a good majority of what I was supposed to do. So one of the things that's beneficial for us to do is to write down what we want to do. So I'm not at all against New Year's resolution. You want to lose 15 pounds, that'll be a good thing to write down. And then write very specifically what you're going to do. Now, I'm not here preaching about New Year's resolutions, but write specifically how you're going to come to that conclusion, how you're going to come to that place, and at what time. Nothing wrong with that, all right? So we're going to establish that. But here's another thing. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. A lot happened last year. There are a lot of things that we did maybe there were failures. Were you disappointed in some of the things that did not take place last year? Were you disappointed in how things turned out and those things are still bugging you a little bit? You're coming to the conclusion that, you know what, things didn't turn out as well as I wanted them to. Now, this year is a clean slate. We're going to start all over and the Lord's going to bless me. By the end of the year, I want to have accomplished, you fill in the blank. All right? There's nothing wrong with that either. All right? But it says here, forgetting those things which are behind. Here's my point. There are things that have happened to us that are still weighing us down. That we're bringing into the new year, we're bringing into a new day, those things the Scripture tells us, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So in other words, all I can handle, all I can deal with is what's happening today. So if I drag all of those failures and all of those things that are in my past, if I drag them back and I set them here and I'm dealing with them today, I'm not going to be as productive as I need to be, right? Because there is something that's going on. Because what happens is when we're looking in the past, there's a difference in the past and the future, right? The future is before us, all right? What did he say? I'm pressing toward. I'm going forward. So whatever it is that you're pressing, when you're pressing, you're putting forth a great effort. Let me tell you, one of the reasons people don't, and me included, all of us have probably made New Year's resolutions that we haven't stood by, right? Oh, I'm going to lose 15 pounds. You're still working on the same 15 pounds that you were trying to lose 5 years ago, right? Well, you know why we don't do it? Because we are not pressing forward. You're thinking about, it was whatever. We made excuses around Thanksgiving and after the holidays. I'm going to stop eating. So Thanksgiving came and you just splurged, right? Christmas came, you splurged again. Now what's your excuse? Huh? Why are you still eating? Why are you still having the problem that you had? You know, one reason is because you're not pressing. You're not pressing over it. You're not pressing over yourself. You're not pressing over what you, in your mind, feel like is necessary. You've got to press. All right? You know why folks aren't saved today? It's because folks don't have the press in their heart. Let me tell you, you know it's a press to come to church? Oh, preachers, it's a press for everybody but the pastor to come to church. Huh? No, if you're going to be in service to get whatever it is that the Lord has for you, everyone is going to press. The Scripture tells us. We'll look at that in a moment. So it says here, I press toward. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So we're talking about a few things. Those things that are behind, I need to forget about that. Somebody disappointed me? Forget about it. Somebody hurt me? Forget about it. All right? Those things which are behind and pressing, what did it say? Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing, reaching forth. Reaching forth to those things which are before. All right? So it's very plainly, it makes a very good understanding that the things that are behind, I need to leave them there. What they did to me in September is in September. No matter what they did, if they come in here and they apologize for it, yes, it'll soothe it, but it won't change anything. So I've got to have in my mind that I am in an active state of forgetting. All right? He didn't say I forgot those things which are behind, but I'm in a constant state, a constant and consistent state of forgetting. So in other words, I've got to be in a place in my own mind that I'm willing to drop this, and when it comes to my mind, drop it again, and I'm constantly forgetting those things that are weighing me back, that are calling me to go back there and deal with something that has already been dealt with. May the Lord have mercy on us. Forgetting. It is an active thing. He didn't say, I forgot. Because if he said, I forgot, then it was just forgotten. I'm not dealing with it anymore. I forgot about, the older we get, and I know those of us that are older, I know we can understand that. The reason I write things down is because I have a problem with forgetting. I forget things that are important and things that are, and I remember trivial things. Things that are unimportant. You can get sidetracked in one day doing things that are trivial and unnecessary and of no benefit whatsoever. You can get bogged down doing that if you allow yourself to. All right? So here's the point here. There are a lot of things that I have to do about, has anybody here ever been hurt? Somebody hurt you? I've been hurt. I've been hurt where somebody said something that they shouldn't have said, and it hurt my feelings. Now, you know what? Some of us are pretty good at hiding it. I happen to be one that's good at hiding it. But it still hurts. Right? And some people, you know what? There are some people, you write it, however they're feeling is written all over their face. You know exactly where they stand. They may not say anything, but you can feel it. You understand that those people, that person is not very happy right there. All right, so we all have there, and then there are those somewhere in the middle. You can kind of see that something is wrong. And women, excuse me, y'all, but this is the truth. Women are bad at, babe, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, why are you acting like that? I'm not acting like this. I'm not acting any kind of way. What's wrong? Nothing. I told you nothing. You know, women do that. Women do that more than men, right? Excuse me, I'm up here. I hope y'all still love me when I get finished. But it's true. At least that's been my experience, all right? It's been my experience that nothing is wrong. Then why are you so quiet? I just don't feel like talking. What's that supposed to mean? All right, there's something to it, right? So here's the point. When you get into those kind of places, what are you thinking? When you get into those places that nothing is wrong, I'm going to take your word for it, nothing is wrong, you just don't feel like talking, but what are you thinking about? What are you thinking? What are you in the process of thinking? Whatever it is, all right, ing. What are you thinking? There is something that's going on in your mind. Somebody hurt your feelings, and women tend to show it a lot more than men do. So here's the point. It is sometimes we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to forget. Help me to be in the active state of forgetting what somebody did to me. How they did it. You know, you can tell them exactly the date that they did it. Lord, help me to be in the process of forgetting those things which are behind, that are holding me down, that are causing me to have having the effect on my life that is having. Lord, I want to forget. So I'm saying here, there are some things that we need to forget. And what does he say? I'm reaching forward. I'm going forward. Those things that are behind, I can do nothing about them. But let me tell you what can happen. The things which are before can get sidetracked, and those things become so unimportant to us because we're still dealing with something back in the past. Let me tell you, there are things that have happened in our history. All of us have a history. All of us have things that have made us who we are today. Some of us, some people were in good homes and their parents were good parents. They did the very best that they could. Some people didn't have maybe just one parent and the one that they had wasn't a very good one. But God knows. God knows your problems. He knows how that affected you, and he knows that they're going to, well, my mother did some things, and I don't like women because of what my mother did, or my father did some things, and I don't like men as a result of that. Forget that. So now you're bringing it into a marriage, or you're bringing it into another relationship. Forget it. Actively, constantly, consistently, forget it. You're in a process. Yes, men always like that, and you roll your eyes, but may the Lord help you to understand God can change you, and you're the one that needs changing. Sometimes we look at other people, and we say in our minds that these people need to change. Yes, they do. Perhaps they do. But what I've learned in my own experience, what I've learned in dealing with my relationship with everybody around me, all the people around me, what I've learned is you can't change them. You've got to change you. You've got to come to a place in your own experience. Lord, I'm reaching forward. I'm not going to let this stuff pull me down and pull me back. I'm not going back on the Lord. And I'm not going to get out of sorts with you because of what he did. I was dealing with a situation not too very recently where this individual was really, they were a trial to me. A business situation. They required things of me that they would not do themselves. And I knew if the situation was switched and changed around, they would demand certain things of me that I was trying to coax them to do, and they would not do it. And so what we tend to do, if the tides were switched, what would happen is they would have tried to strong arm me into doing the exact thing that they themselves wouldn't do. Why do people do that? Why do people demand of you what they won't do themselves? Why would you demand, and why wouldn't you be long-suffering to me if you wouldn't do it yourself? And that's what I don't believe. I believe that's hypocrisy. If you would not do what you're demanding me to do, if you wouldn't do it, do unto others, the Scripture says, as you would have others do unto you. If you would not want somebody doing that to you, don't do it to them. We got feelings. Our feelings get hurt. And our feelings have to heal. And we've got to get to a place that we forget about the hurts that we've had in our past life. We've got to forget about them. Because they're bogging us down. They're affecting us in a great way. All of you know the situation. I've preached on it. I've lived it. That I've had an injury to my eye. And the two eyes go together, don't they? I had an injury and it hurts. It hurt, but I still can't see out of it, and nothing for me to do. I can go back, I can be upset at the guy that did it, but I have to take some responsibility myself. I'm the one that didn't have goggles on. I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that's responsible for it. So there are going to be some time, though, even though he was the one and he was the supervisor, he should have known better, all these kind of things. I could have done all of that. I can still be back in the past dealing with the hurts that I dealt with way back then, but I forgot about them. I don't even remember them anymore. Even though it continues to affect my life. Every time I drive, it affects my life. When I read, it affects my life in every aspect of my life. But do you know what? The only time I remember it is when I choose to remember it. Lord, help us. Does it hurt? Does it affect you? Yes, it affects you. So here's the point. What are you trying to say, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to say is there are some things that we need to actively forget about. There are some things that we need to just drop. Just let them go. Because I've preached on this before as well. Because, you know, here's the point that somebody hurt you and you're way off in California or they're in the Bahamas enjoying themselves and they're still having some kind of control over you. They're having control over you. You're not having a good vacation because they did something to you back in June. You understand what I'm saying? Forget about it. Actively forget teen. Those things which are in the past. Forgetting. And I'm reaching forward. Lord, what do you have for me? Now, let me tell you what happens. Every time somebody does something horrible to you, it's for your good. Brother Darrell, what do you mean it's for my good? I don't see any way that this is for my good. The Lord's trying to teach you something or he wouldn't have let it happen. That's what I've learned in my own experience. And when I humble myself, when I submit myself to the Lord, then the Lord works. There's something that I don't understand it, but I know it works. There's something that begins to happen in our spirits, and the Lord begins to work with us, and the Lord begins to, through this thing, chastise us and cause us to press forward to the things which are before. I want to go to a few other scriptures. I want to go to Luke, the 16th chapter. And I want to read the 16th verse. Law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Every man presses into it. Now, if you go up before these scriptures, what we find out is that when Jesus was here preaching, there were Pharisees, there were other religious organizations and religious people that were trying to prevent people from actually embracing Christ. All right? And so those individuals, you're going to, in order for you to go forward in the name of the Lord, you're going to have to press. Every man is going to press into the kingdom of God. It's not easy. You know what? The greatest press, we dealt with it a little bit last Sunday. The greatest press that you're ever going to have to deal with is the man in the mirror. That person that you're looking at. There are going to be foes from without, and there are going to be foes from within. I'm going to have to deal with me. I'm the one. Ultimately, you're the one, ultimately, that if you don't go to heaven, there's going to be one person to blame. One. Only one. Well, Lord, my wife, she just wasn't a very good woman, and she did all of these things. That's beside the point. The Lord has made it where this is an individual thing that I can stand before God, don't matter what everybody else is doing around me. I can stand before God, and I can be victorious in every situation, every circumstance of life. It doesn't matter what they're doing at school. It doesn't matter that you're a young person, and this is what everybody else is doing. That does not matter. What matters is you're the only one, you're the only foe that's going to prevent you from standing before the Lord purified. No one else. You believe that? I believe it. You know what? You've heard of children getting saved at a young age and they live saved the rest of their lives. Well, there are going to be some things. There are going to be some temptations, aren't there? You know what? Remember, y'all understand, when I was a child, excuse me for saying, I don't want to give children no ideas. But you know what? We used to walk to the store. We don't do this now anymore. We used to walk to the store all the time. By ourselves, we'd go from blocks and we'd ride our bicycles on the old way on the other side of town. And had you ever noticed that the old people know this, but had you ever noticed when you get into a little convenience store, back then everybody was smoking, and then there would be this whole cigarette down on the ground, smoldering. And the devil would say, smoke it. Do you know how many times I had to say no to the devil? You know, I found packs of cigarettes as a little boy. And I learned, I didn't smoke them. I want you to understand, the Lord gave you victory. And I would learn that, you know what, we're not going to leave them for somebody else to smoke. So what we do is we step on them. No, they ain't good for nobody. Nobody needs them. But you know what, the devil puts those little temptations right in your way to see what you're going to do with them. And what you have to do, you have to press against that. You have to press toward the mark. I told you the story about when I got saved at 9 years old and I went into the little store called Get and Go and I was going to get some candy. And the person that was at the cash register was back in the back and the devil told me, there's some candy right there. There's some candy right there. Just get that candy and go out the store. Nobody will ever know it. Just be between me and you. And you know, the thought was real. Now, I'm talking to little children. You know what? The Lord brought to my mind, but I'm saved. You can't do that. You're saved. You're living for the Lord. Oh, you're just 9 years old. Yes, I'm 9 years old, but I'm going to stand before the Lord too. I'm not always going to be nine if the Lord has mercy. And if He doesn't, I sure don't need to do it because I knew better. And so I said, no, I'm not going to do it. We are all faced with those kinds of temptation. We're faced with temptation today. You're going to be faced with some temptations. Tomorrow you're going to be faced with them. Next week, this year, you're going to be pressed. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to press through them by the help of the grace of God. I'm going to press through them. I'm not apprehended. I'm not there yet. I may not be exactly where I'm going to be, but I'm closer than I was. I'm going to get there by the help and the grace of God. I'm going to press. I'm going to put forth the effort, the resolution. I'm resolved that I am going to accomplish. I am going to get to heaven. I'm resolved on that. That's a resolution that I made to myself. And everything, the one thing that I do is I make certain whether I go to work, whether I go to school, whether I go to the grocery store, everything is pointing toward that one thing that I desire of the Lord. And that's to make it to heaven. You know why? Because it doesn't make sense for you not to. Think about it. If we're right, and we believe that we are, according to the Scripture, we know that we are. And if you know that you're right, and you know you're going to have to stand before the Lord at one day in your life, at some time at the end of your life, then the best thing for me to do is to make certain I'm ready. And do you know what? The wonderful thing about it is it's not a hard thing. People want to make it hard. People want to say, oh, y'all, you go to that church, and that church, they require you to do this. We don't require you to do but one thing. And the Bible requires it. Don't sin. It's pretty simple. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. Simple. If you know stealing candy is wrong, don't steal it. If nobody's looking and nobody will ever know, but you and God, nobody will ever know, don't do it. Just don't do it. So basically, if it's wrong, don't do it. And treat your brother like you want to be treated. Isn't that pretty simple? Isn't that a pretty simplistic way of doing it? Now, all these other things and all these 1, 2, A, B, C, all this kind of stuff, leave that alone. You just live for the Lord. You just do what the Lord tells you to do. You be faithful and come to church. Because you'll hear things. You'll hear the Lord will talk to you through the message. The Lord will talk to you through the song. The Lord will talk to you in various ways. Just do what the Lord tells you to do. It's a simple process. Let me tell you, when you need some help, you know what to do. When you're having a temptation, it seems like it's so hard. The first thing you do is pray. You get down, even if you can't get down on your knees, you pray and you say, Lord, have mercy on me. It's simple. Salvation is a simple process. You can live saved. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Lord, have mercy on me. And when you need a little help, you call the saints. Brother Daryl, I need some prayer. Brother Daryl, you know what Brother Daryl does all the time when somebody calls, gets down on his knees. Wife, they're such and such is in a battle. They need prayer. Let's go to prayer. Let's pray that the Lord would have special mercy on them. And you know what? The Lord comes to their rescue. Isn't that wonderful? It's simple. Living saved is simple, but it takes a press to do it. The devil is going to tell you, you know what? We live in an age of all of our lives are easy. Remember back in the day when our mothers were domestics and our fathers dug ditches and all they were manual laborers? Hardly any of us are manual laborers in this congregation. Hardly any of us. The majority of us are working inside an air-conditioned facility, and we're making way more money, taking into consideration inflation, than our parents did and what they did. And we're working a lot less, not as stringently. So what would that do? So really what's happening in our generation is that we're becoming a little bit soft. Right? We're becoming a little bit soft. Well, what are we trying to do? What's reasonable? Well, we go to school. The Nisha said that she's in her last year of school. I am all for education. Wonderful. She's going to get a good job, Lord willing. At some point, she's going to give to the work of the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't it? And so we've all gotten good jobs, and we're much better off than what we were. Here's the point that we want to make in that. May the Lord help us to realize and understand that the most important thing in all of that is living for the Lord. Now, we're getting a little soft. And so when it comes to we want the best job, making the most amount of money, doing the least amount of work. Is that not our formula? Really? Think about it. We want the best job under the best conditions, the best benefits, and we want to make the most money doing the least amount of work. Now, if that's the case and that has become our physical mindset, do you suppose it has any effect on us spiritually? Do you suppose that spiritually speaking we want to do the least amount of work to get the greatest benefit and we can get to heaven the easiest way possible? And so this is what people are doing. Oh, Brother Daryl, we ain't got to press all that. We ain't got to, y'all go to that church over there. Over at this church here, you just basically come in, you can do what you want to. I had people that were friends that were Catholics. I was thinking, y'all could do anything y'all wanted to. And all you have to do is go and confess to the priest that... go and confess to the priest, and the priest tell you, give them some money or whatever they do. I don't know what they do altogether, but all you have to do is do that, and you'll be absolved from your sins, according to them. But that's not right, is it? I have people that were Church of Christ, and they stand up. They don't believe living a holy life. They stand up in front of the church, and they say, Church, forgive me, for I have sinned. Well, you know what? If we say, Church, forgive us, for I have sinned, you need to come down here and pray. Here, come on down here. Kneel down, you tell the Lord. You don't have to tell the church you sin. You tell the Lord you sinned and you stop doing it. What did the Lord tell that woman that was found in the very act of adultery? What he said, go and sin no more. Why would he tell her something that she didn't have the can't help us about? Don't do this again. Well, Lord, this is just my vice. This is the thing that gets me down every time. Every time I get unsaved, I deal with that particular issue. Well, may the Lord help you. The grace of God is sufficient for you. Isn't that wonderful? What do? You press. You fight. You go forward. I'm going to go forward. I'm not looking back at what I used to do. I'm going to go forward towards the things which are before. The Lord can help you with that. The Lord can help you. I can't help you like I need to. I can only go so far. I can take you, get you on the road, and I can point you in the right direction, and I can give you instruction. But when it comes to pressing against yourself, that's your job. When it comes against pressing against the obstacles and pressing against the temptations of life, that's your job. When it comes against listening to other people, let me tell you, the reason that a lot of people are not sitting here in these pews today is because they listen to somebody else. They gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're not here today because they are somewhere else doing an much easier route. And let me tell you, it ain't even hard. This ain't even hard. But it's going to take a press for you to maintain your integrity with the Lord. Let me tell you, it used to be, I didn't know I was going to say all this, but respect the saints, even if you don't agree with them. Respect it. Why? Why? Because you have to press against what the devil. Well, you know, all that ain't necessary. You ain't got to do all that to be a Christian. How do you know? When was the last time you went to heaven and came back to tell somebody how to get there? You ain't got to do all that. How do you know what you got to do? Do you realize that in the age of Google, everybody's an expert on something? You start having a little pain in your ear. You go and diagnose it on Google, don't you? Well, pain in my ear. What are the symptoms? And you can go and diagnose it, and we diagnose everything, and we become experts in spiritual matters. And be careful on that. Press against that. Does that mean, Brother Darrell, that you don't know what I'm dealing with in a spiritual way? No, you should know, but you're not an expert at it. You need to ask the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me and help me. Are y'all following me so far? All right. All right, let's go a little farther. Press his way into it. Let's go to Luke 17, verse 3. Luke 17, verse 3, you might start reading. Take heed unto yourself. Who are you going to worry about? Take heed unto yourselves. You're the problem. You're the one that needs to watch yourself, because I can't watch you. You can't watch me. You can't come to a place where but the Lord Jesus Christ himself is telling us, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. All right, so that's very plain here. We're talking about forgetting. If your brother offends you and he comes against you, they say, but what is it? What is the first thing before he said? Did he say, take heed to your brother? Look at what he's doing. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, look at her? You say this kind of under your breath. I can't believe she's doing that. I can't believe he's doing that. Look at him. But it didn't say that, look at them. It said, look at you. Lord, help us. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against you, you have a right to say, brother, don't do that. Do not do that. Don't do it again. You have every right to rebuke him. Rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, here's our logic. Now, the Lord's bringing out a principle here, but here's our logic. If you're going to do it seven times in a day, then your first point of saying you're sorry didn't really mean nothing. Right? That's what we would say. You did it again. Okay, the first time I said, all right, that's no problem. And then you did it again. The same day you came and did the exact same thing, the same day, and you come back and you ask for, I'm sorry, then you don't really mean it. So about the third or fourth time, you're going to say, you don't even have to ask me if you're sorry. I need to see some action. And that's not unreasonable for us to say, I got to see some action or else I'm not going to forgive you. You're not going to forgive them? In your Bible, is it red? It's red. Who said it? Jesus. So he said, if they offend you seven times in a day, how many times in a day are you to forgive them? Seven times in a day. And if they turn and ask you to forgive them, whether they were sincere or serious about it, that ain't none of your business. That's between them and the Lord. You say, Lord, I've got to forget about what this person is doing, and they keep reminding me how trifling they are. And Lord, I've got to make a process. What am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to press through this and forgive them anyway, even though I don't feel like they deserve it. I don't feel like they deserve my forgiveness. So therefore, but the Lord said, do it. And what did he say? He said seven times, in one place he said seven times 70. Lord, Peter comes to him and he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he trespasses me? Seven times in a day? He said, no, I say unto you, you should forgive him seven times 70. How many times is that? 490. All right. So this is how many times that your brother, oh Lord, 490 times, 70 times 7 is 490. That's how many times that you're supposed to forgive your brother in one day when he trespassed against you. Now, one of the first things, I'm human. So this is a very difficult thing for me to get all, well, let's see, this is the principle of it. Let's deal. No, we're going to deal with the principle, and we're going to deal with what actually is being said here. All right? So 7 times 70 in a day, I'm going to forgive. At some point, we as human beings, we would say, you know what? He's not sincere. I'm going to extract myself out of this environment so he don't have to offend me 7 times 70 in a day. I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. Well, you know, that's wisdom. I'd probably do it too. Brother Darrell's up here preaching. But you're going to offend me 7 times 70 in a day, then I'm probably going to get myself out of your way. So you have it a little easier. And I'll have it a little easier. So we know that that's not going to happen. It doesn't happen, does it? I've said this before. I've preached it before. You can be consumed with what a person did to you 7 times 70 in a day. You can be consumed. It could come to your mind literally, in a literal sense, 490 times in one day. You see something, you smell some perfume that made you think about this person, and that, well, she did this to me. He did that to me. And I don't want to have 7 times 70 in a day. You understand what I'm saying? So those thoughts. So here's the reason I'm saying this. Is because this is why the scripture says forgetting. I-N-G. It didn't say I forgot about it. It says that I have to press and put forth an effort to forget. I'm in a constant state, active state of forgetting about what somebody did to me. I'm not going to let it take root. What do they say? They say you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from making a nest there. So what I'm going to do, the devil is going to try to have the bird. He can drop whatever he wants to drop on me. I'm going to get out from under the tree. You ever parked at Walmart where the birds and the pigeons are? You parked under the tree and you came back and you had quite a bit of a presence on your car? Yeah, we all have. So the next time, what do? You do that one time. The next time is the one right up to the door, but it's got all them birds on there, and there's a tree. So you're going to go all the way down to the end of the parking lot and park down there because you don't want that. That's kind of how we do it. That's what we need to do. I'm going to get out of the environment of this situation because I don't want all the bird droppings on my car. I don't want all the things that are happening in my with this individual. I don't want it dropping on my car, on my life, on my head. I'm not going to let the bird make a nest there. So I'm going to have to learn to forgive and forget all that they're doing, all that they've done to me. I'm going to have to drop it. Just let it go. Forgetting and pressing and reaching forward toward the things which are before. All right, we're going to go on a little farther. We don't want to take up too much of your time here. All right, so we got that, and we're going to go to, let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and I want to read starting at the 31st verse. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So the Lord is telling Peter here, he says, Simon, the devil wants you. And you know what? Why did he say that to Simon? Because all of us are Simon. The devil wants you. His desire is to destroy you. It doesn't matter how it is. It can be something legitimate. I put that in air quotes here. Something legitimate, something that whatever it is, he can get you to do what you are not should not do, then the devil has an advantage here. So here's Peter. Peter's overconfident. Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. I'm going to do whatever it is. And he says, Peter, the devil has a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. You know what? You know what? Let me tell you, it is something to have saints praying for you. I appreciate the saints. You know why it's so important to us? Because, you know, the saints are living holy lives. You know, they're endeavoring to try to live right. They're endeavoring to try to do what they know is right. They're trying to live to the Lord as close as they can. And then so we can call them and say, you know what, saints, I want you to pray for me. You know, my sister was saying, she said, I don't care about you telling the saints that I need prayer. I want somebody that can get a hold of the Lord praying for me. I want somebody that can get a hold of the Lord. Saints, that's why we have to stay where we are. We're not doing this because it's the popular thing to do. We're not doing this because this has been handed down to us from one generation to another. No, we're doing it because, number one, we know that that's what gets us close to the Lord, and it works. Lord, help us. It works. Lord, help us. All right, so he said that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now, here's the point that I want to make. We're going to have failures we have failures in our past. We can kick ourselves for some things that we got ourselves into. Peter should never have been following the Lord. That was God, that was Jesus' trial. That wasn't Peter's trial. Jesus was going to Pilate, and Peter was watching to see what he was following afar off. It was not his trial. As other disciples went in the other direction, you might say, well, they were just not, they knew their limitation. And they didn't have what it takes. Peter didn't know his limitation. But Peter failed the Lord. And let me tell you, what happened when he failed the Lord? He went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, Lord, I failed you. I fail you, have mercy on me. But let me tell you, we sing a song, press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. We're going to have to press through those things, aren't we? We're going to have to press. Yes, we've had some failures. And yes, we've maybe fallen on our face, but get back up, dust yourself off, and keep going. Keep pressing forward. You're going to get there. I tell a person, I don't care how many times I say, some people say, well, Brother Darrell, I don't seem like I can keep it. Keep trying. Oh, it don't matter if you Lord help me, you don't have to do this. But if you backslide 20 times, keep trying. Yeah. On the 21st, you get it. You know, some people that are sitting here backslid a whole lot of time, and now they're saved and they're living right. How? Because they got it. Lord, help us. We can do this by the help of the grace. Press forward. That's my resolution for this year. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to forget. I'm pressing. I'm in the process. Constant, consistent process of going forward, and I'm forgetting the things which are behind. I'm going the past, I'm forgetting. The present, I'm pressing toward it. All right? All of this is the process. All this is a process, right? Pressing, going forward. Forgetting on one end and pressing on the other. I'm almost done here. Appreciate your patience. All right. So he says, and you know what I think with Peter? Sometimes our failures are what are the catalyst or the impetus that pushes us forward. Because I failed, and Lord, I don't want to fail you again. I don't want to fail again. And I was overconfident here. And the scripture tells me, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And Lord, I thought I could stand here, and I find out that I can't stand. Lord, have mercy on me. And so we press forward, and we realize the Lord's going to be the one that takes care of us. The Lord's going to do it. All right? He says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. And you know what Peter did? Peter was one of the exceptional apostles. And the things that he dealt with, he pressed over them. And he said, that'll never happen to me again. I'll never deny the Lord again. And the Lord knew that. The Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew that he put himself in a situation that he never should have been in. All right, almost done here. Let's go to Titus 3 and 8, and someone get me Genesis 41 and 52. Titus 3 and 8. Faithful saying? Yes? Affirm constantly. They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's what I'm saying to you, saints. That I'm affirming it. I'm saying, yes, this is right. This is the truth of God's Word. And I've said this all along. And this is my 30th year being here, and the people that were here and when I first got here to now, you've heard me say it all along, don't do it just because it's what the church teaches or what Brother Darrell teaches. I want to affirm it that you know it for yourself. You know this for yourself. You stand before the Lord. You're not going to be saying, well, Lord, this is what Brother Darrell said. Brother Darrell said, go to the Word. Go behind me. Look up all the Scriptures. See if I put them in context. See if they're the right way. I'm going to affirm it constantly. You might maintain good works. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good. Keep doing it. And if you're not doing good, you can do good. You might not have it yet. You know what? That's the point. I have not attained it yet. That means, you know, the children say when you're getting ready to go someplace, are we there yet? You know what that means? That means that we're in process. We're going in that direction. But I'm not there yet. But that means I'm going to get there. Lord, help us. All right, one other scripture. Genesis 41, verse 50.
Oh.
Yes. For the years of famine came. Yes. Bearing unto him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, has made me forget all my toil. Now, this guy was, I don't know, this guy's brothers were going to kill him. Now, if I heard my brothers talking about it, really, they had murder in their hearts. They were going to kill him. Why? Because they were jealous of him. They were literally going to kill him. Lord, help us. We got to be careful about that. We ain't gonna kill him. But the Lord says, if we hate our brother in our heart, it's the same thing. So here is this guy that's saying, the Lord has caused me. He named his firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So in other words, he went through a very difficult thing. And you know what it takes? We're talking about this forgetting and this pressing, right? Where it's a process. All the while I'm pressing, I'm forgetting. So Joseph was in the right way, in the right spirit, in the right, doing the right thing. He says, I'm going to keep going forward, he said, because the Lord is the one that helped me forget. It ain't going to be me. Oh, Brother Darrell, I want you to pray for me. I need to such and such. No, the Lord. You need the Lord to help you. Brother Darrell can't help you. Brother Darrell can pray for you, but Brother Darrell can't infuse you with strength. Only the Lord can do that. But the Lord can do it. And saints, I want to encourage you, the Lord will do it. Don't give up one thing that you desire of the Lord. You're going to keep pressing and you're going to keep forgetting. Those two things that we want you to do. Press forward, forget what's back there. Press forward, forget what's in the past. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. Let us stand. Have a number. 261.